Our reading is Revelation 22, verses 1 through 6. It can be found in your Pew Bibles, page 1938. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of a great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These are the words, are trustworthy and true."
Thank you, Brian. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. This is chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. It's page 1504. The words of Jesus. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This ends the reading of our lessons for this Sunday morning. As always, God is speaking through these words, and when God speaks, the words are true. We can trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This air this morning is almost too thick to breathe, so that'll show up some. So this morning, I want to begin a conversation about this congregation's future. We'll begin this conversation today and continue it for the next 2 weeks, and it will likely pop up again a few times in the coming months. But here's the thing you have to hear before we begin. When I say we will be talking about the future of this congregation, I am not saying, and hear this clearly, I am not saying that it's time to lock the doors and go home. One day you will have that conversation. Every church does. But this is not that day. We're going to be thinking around a couple of questions related to each other when we go through this conversation. First, we'll be wondering, what does it mean to be the church today in our current setting? And secondly, and more specifically, what does it mean for us to be the church today in this village and in this building with the people and the energy and the resources that we have left to us? I'm going to begin from what might at first feel like an unusual place with the story that I wrote maybe 14 years ago or so. This story is kind of a parable, like the stories Jesus told. Meaning, this story never happened, but I believe it is nonetheless true. So here we go. I really like this story, by the way. Once upon a time, in the quaint village of Rome Corners, Wisconsin, there lived a kindly 81-year-old widow by the name of Laodicea Proper. An odd name, to be sure, for such a nice person, but there's a story behind her name. You see, her father was the Reverend Thaddeus Proper, a somewhat stern man with an odd sense of humor. For reasons only known to him, he named his seven daughters after the seven churches in the book of Revelation. It was an inside joke that almost nobody but him got, but it made him smile. His seventh and last daughter he named Laodicea. He gave her the name of the seventh church. The church in Laodicea in John's day, when he was writing this, was known as a lukewarm congregation. They were, as John said, John the Revelator described them, neither cold nor hot, just tepid. So it was poetically fitting, I suppose, that while, even though her father had been pastor of the Rome Junction Church for his entire professional life, Laodicea hadn't herself been in that church since her father's death a couple of decades earlier. Now, of course, no one but her father ever called Laodicea by her given name. Her mother, who was a wise woman, gave her and each of her six sisters nicknames that were more appropriate to little girls. So from her earliest years, Laodicea was called Lady. When she grew up, her friends all referred to her as Lady Proper. The children, especially the students in the school where she taught for 37 years, called her Miss Lady. And even when she was married and raising four sons of her own, she was always Miss Lady to the young ones in her classroom. These days, Lady Proper lives alone in her little house on the main street in Rome Junction, which isn't all that main, to be honest. Rome Junction is a sleepy sort of village of maybe 1,500 people. She is the last of a long line of Propers who have lived in Rome Junction. Her great-grandfather, Elias Proper, had been the first homesteader in the area, carving out a farm from the woods at the bend of a lazy river around 1890 or so. Her grandfather, Saul Proper, not wanting the farming life, built a general store at a crossroads near the family farm, and he thus became the founder of the village of Rome Proper, of Rome Corner. It was Saul Proper who built a small congregational church next to his general store, and he served as its lay pastor for many years. Saul Proper scrimped and saved enough to send his son, Thaddeus, his only son, off to Princeton Seminary for a proper seminary education. And then he managed to convince this son to return home to the little church in Rome Proper. In Rome Corners, he's properly there. I'll get this straight. He managed to convince his son to return home to Rome Junction and to be the pastor so that this little church can have a proper pastor. The Reverend Thaddeus Proper served that church for 40 years. But as I said, Laodicea was now the last of the Propers in Rome Junction. Her six sisters had all married and moved away to places where their husbands could find actual jobs. Her own four sons had gone to college and moved away to careers that took them far from Rome Corners. She saw them all often enough, Christmas and Easter and grandkids' birthdays and family reunions and whatever other excuse they could make to get together. Her nine grandkids loved spending long summer vacations with her, and she loved having them. But her husband had died a decade earlier, and in spite of her kids' attention, she now spends most of her time alone. That's not to say that Lady Proper is bored or lonely. Nothing could be further from the truth. Every spring and summer, she tends a much too large garden right in her front yard. Her backyard is too shady for anything but ferns and jack-in-the-pulpits. In the fall, she cans and preserves way more food than one person could ever eat. All winter long, she reads her beloved cookbooks and is constantly experimenting in her kitchen. It is known all over town that No one else can make an authentic pumpkin lamb curry stew. And if you want to taste a proper apple rhubarb pie, you need to befriend Lady Proper. Lady P is a thoughtful woman. You might say she's even a contemplative. Growing up, she had been very close to the Reverend Thaddeus Proper, and she often meditated on the things her father told her. And lately, she's found herself remembering one of his favorite sayings. "Laodicea," he would say to her, "treasure your heart, and your heart will lead you to treasure." And that's what she believed she was doing. She treasured good food, carefully grown, lovingly prepared, and as often as not given away. But was it enough, she wondered? Was this her real treasure? Was this the proper goal of her life? Not too long ago now, on a sunny day in September, about a week after school started, she had taken a rare break from her garden to sit in her rocking chair on the front porch. And her father's saying came back to her, "Treasure your heart, Laodicea, and your heart will lead you to treasure." What did he mean by that, she wondered just then. And right at that time, one of the neighbor kids walked by her house on her way home from the bus stop. She walked slowly, her head down, obviously unhappy, deep in thought. "Hey, sunshine," Lady P called out. "Stick that bottom lip out any further and you'll trip over it." "What's the problem?" "Fractions," was all she said. "Fractions," Lady Proper replied. "In the first week of school? I never taught fractions till the third week. That's hard stuff, isn't it?" The girl, whose name was Polly, by the way, looked up at the porch and she said, "I just don't get it, Miss Lady. Teacher says 1/4 is smaller than 1/2, but 4 is bigger than 2. And she says 1/8 is smaller than 1/4, but 8 is bigger than 4 or 2. I don't get it. It's stupid." "You know, Polly, your dad was my student in 4th grade. He had a hard time with fractions too. Maybe I can help. You like cantaloupe, don't you? And ice cream?" And Polly nodded. "See that big melon over there at the front of the garden? I think it's about ripe. Pick it for me and bring it into the house." Now that melon must have weighed 5 pounds, but Polly picked it and followed Lady Proper into the kitchen where she stood ready with a cutting board and a big knife in her hand. She took the melon from Polly and with a quick, expert slice, cut the melon in 2 pieces. "Now you can eat half a melon, can't you, Polly?" And Polly's eyes turned big as saucers. "Maybe in a week I could, Miss Lady. It's way too big." "Well," Lady P said, "what if we cut the melon in 4 parts? Maybe 1/4 would be small enough?" "Nope," Polly replied, "still too big." "Well then, let's cut it into 8 pieces. Can you handle 1/8 of a melon?" Polly looked up at Lady Proper. She looked back at the 8 small pieces of melon and back again at Lady Proper. And she said, "Miss Lady, fractions can't be that simple, can they?" And Miss Polly, or Lady Proper said to Miss Polly, "Fractions are just that simple. Now the ice cream is in the freezer and bowls are in the cupboard. Let's quit fracturing this poor melon and eat." A few days later, about the same time of the afternoon, Lady P was in her garden picking tomatoes and hot peppers and onions for a bowl of chili that she was making for supper that night. Polly, when she looked up, she saw Polly and 9 of her school friends standing at the gate, looking back at her in hopeful anticipation. "What is it today?" Lady P said with a smile. "Advanced calculus?" "Long division," one of the boys replied. "We don't get it. It's even stupider than fractions." "Well," Miss Lady said, "help me pick these tomatoes and peppers quick, and we'll see what we can do." And if you want to hear what Lady Proper did about long division, you have to come back next week. Amen.